the state of the news, according to me. Good morning, finally. Finally, good morning. Still morning, isn't it? I think it's still morning, barely. Friday, March 8th. I should be the president. 11:07 a.m. Just turned to 11:08, I guess. And here I am finally. And it's not live, but I am here. It's been a morning that I had not expected. Let's just say that. Way too much to do. I do have, however, I have plenty, and I'm not at the worldwide headquarters. I didn't make it that far. I just that was going to be another hour before the show got started, and I'm just going to do the show, get this thing in the can before in the drawer, wherever it goes. I don't know, the Ethernet, but somewhere in Ethernet. I heard some British guy pronounced it Ethernet the other day. I think he's British or wherever he was from. Might have been Australia or New Zealand, where they don't pronounce words properly. They can't speak proper English. Places like England, where they don't speak proper English. They make fun of us all the time. But I have lots of clips this morning to play. There's quite a few. Or more than I had yesterday. Which was none. More than none. Many times more than I had yesterday. Just no. Additional than what I had yesterday. Because you can't take... 10 times 0 is still 0. So it's just one of those weird things in math. But I do have some nice hot chai. Boy, that chai is nice and hot. That usually gets cooled off by the time I get down to do my show. But I did it right before I did the show. And... yes, I have creamy chai with vanilla cream. Vanilla creamy chai with almond joy creamer. I have also as a backup, I have my trusty homemade sweet tea. It's just good stuff. And so I'm loaded this morning with things ready to go. I've got stuff on my phone here that's Bluetooth to my mixer. I can play all these clips. Hopefully I play the right clips at the right time. Not sure what all the clips are. I have plenty going on. I've received some things. I had to order some stuff with UPS, and I had some projects going on. Of course, then it rained today. It was a little bit different weather than I had planned on, so I'm not going to get the things done I needed to get done. So that switched me over to do other things. But long story short, you don't need to know about all that stuff. I told you my life story yesterday, at least part of it. The more exciting part. I got a cat down here. There's a cat walking around. The cat that we adopted, it was a feral cat that was hanging out here. We finally decided, during that spell we had where it was like 10 below zero, we took it in on the porch, had a little heated pad for it to lay on. Of course, it wouldn't leave the pad. Just stayed there on the pad all the time. Put food right there beside it and it just sat there and ate. If life could be so good, you just sit there and eat. Lay there on your little heated pad. People come in and pet you once in a while. Get up and go to the bathroom. Go back to bed. It's a rough life. Meanwhile, we're working our butts off to take care of this cat. So we have... There's a kitty. There's a kitty. So now this cat is it's kind of taken over the house. The other cat's not too sure about this cat. Now this is a female cat. She's a very, very sweet little thing. But anyway, we had it up. So anyway, yeah, lots of stuff to talk about today. Let's get the politics out of the way. We have, because yesterday I didn't talk much about politics. It was mostly about me. It's all about me. This show's all about me because that's my name is in the show. Me. News according to me. It's me. It's all about me. So today we're going to talk about a few things. The State of the Union was yesterday, the State of the Union address from the president, which was, I didn't hear anything about the State of the Union. I heard lots of things about the State of the Biden campaign. It was a campaign speech. That's all it was. He never used the word Donald Trump. He never mentioned his name. They're finally catching on to this thing about Donald Trump and his, of course, just the fact that they deliberately went around using his name also shows you that that's, he's still in their head. That this, you see this, when someone affects you in a way that makes you do something differently, they are in your head and they are actually having an effect on you, whether you like it or not. I've seen this happen. I think the biggest example I saw of this happening one time was in a church group. This church, it was a church plant. It was a group of college kids. This happens occasionally. It was just one of those critical mass things that happened. There was some key people involved. They got started in this thing and they were going on. And of course, they took off. There was like 100 of them right off the bat. It was kind of this large group from this one church that I knew of. It was about 40 people in this one group. And there was other churches involved as well, other kids from other churches. College age kids. I call them kids, the college age. If you're less than 40, you're a kid in my world. Now what was interesting, this group got started and they wanted to be the anti-church. Not that they were anti-church, that they wanted to be the different church, the different thing. They didn't want to do everything traditional. They wanted the anti-traditional church. So everything that they did was motivated by being anti-traditional. Well, that's the way most churches do it, so we're going to do it like this. Even their meeting time, the start of their meeting time was some weird time. It wasn't like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 9:30. It was different time than that. And it wasn't on Sunday morning. It was on a Saturday night. And it was literally at night. It was in the summertime, it was close to sunset. That's what time their service would start. Now, these were all kids that didn't have, they were all, some of them weren't young and married, but most of them were single, and a lot of them didn't have kids. I think there were only very few of them had kids. So, of course, they can do this kind of stuff. And they had songs, but they didn't have songs at the same time. They would do, you know, the order of their service, everything was different about their service. But they still had a service. Which was, you know, that's very traditional, having a service once a week. They should have had one every other day or every 3 days. That would have been even better. But they didn't do that. They had one every week, which is very traditional. So you can't escape. You can't define yourself by that. But the whole time they're doing that, the definition of who they were and what they did and everything that they did was motivated by being the anti-traditional church. So they were still allowing tradition to affect their decisions. And I see this happening with people, especially the anti-Trump, Trump derangement syndrome folks. And the fact that Joe Biden could not mention his predecessor's name last night. I didn't watch the speech. I've watched enough of it. The bits and clips that I've watched this morning was enough for me. That's all I needed. I'm not going to. Unfortunately, there are people out there who will watch the entire speech to give their synopsis so that I don't have to watch it. And I'm here to give you the synopsis of everybody's synopsis so you don't have to even watch the synopsises. All you have to do is listen to me. My thoughts and ideas. And this cat really wants my attention. And she's so sweet about it. She just pokes her head around the corner and then she wants me to reach out to her so she can lick my fingers. Just very lightly, wants me to, you know, rub her back. She's not even rubbing up against me. She's just kind of, here I am. Don't you want to pay attention to me? She's so nice. So sweet of her. Anyway, I ended up, she's very coy in some ways. You're chasing after her. She's like kind of runs away and then she looks back to see if you're chasing her. If you're going to pick her up. Quite the manipulator she is. Anyway, see, Joe Biden was doing this whole thing, and it's the whole time I'm listening to him speak, and everything I've heard that he's spoken has been, and he looked mad. In every clip I saw, he just looked like he was just mad, angry man, angry old man. His eyes squeezed shut, talking about, my predecessor did this, and blah, blah, blah. Marjorie Taylor Greene really, stole the show last night, though. She had a MAGA hat on, and on her shirt she said, "Say her name." the name of the college student, the nursing student who got killed by an illegal immigrant. It was not in his speech. He went off script. He went off teleprompter. Now, speaking of teleprompter, he was extremely juiced up last night. In fact, there were people, Jerry Nadler even noticed, said, well, they can't talk about cognitive problems now. You were on fire. You were on fire tonight. Those people were around him, you know, just celebrating his amazing abilities. And, now the cat jumped up on the keyboard. Let's see what happens here now, this point. Never know what's going to happen now, what buttons are going to push. It's the first time she's ever been up here that I know of. So this whole thing was going on, and they were just gloating about how great he was, how wonderful and fantastic he was. And so I don't know. The whole thing is very disturbing, the fact that he was all juiced up. I'm sure he was. They had him on all kinds of things, I'm sure, which is disturbing nonetheless. The speech went on, I think, for 67 minutes, a little over an hour, which is a long time for Joe Biden. And for him to be that juiced up that for that long. Now, again, this kind of thing, this cocktail that they're giving him to make him able to do this stuff is going to burn him out. This is what's known about this stuff. It does eventually. He's going to have, you watch, in the next week, in about 6 or 7 days, he's going to have an incredible decline again. And it's probably going to be almost unattainable for him to come back to this kind of position again. It's just, you go down the slopes. And the more you push it, the more it escalates. So we'll see here in about a week. We will start to see more gaffes. And they will escalate in severity. And Joe has had a history in his past of aneurysms. It's a certain type of aneurysm. It's a serious type thing. My dad had a similar type of situation. Not quite the same, but it was very similar. So it'll be real interesting to see what happens with this, with him in the next week. Unfortunately, they're just pushing the guy beyond his, what he should just be out feeding the ducks somewhere. The idea that this guy is an amazing person and the economy is just rip-roaring, everything's wonderful. It's all baloney, we all know it. And they're getting called out on it by some of the people in the Democrat Party. They're actually talking about it. But even people like Bill Maher, what's wrong with the economy? I don't see anything wrong with it. This guy's a millionaire, getting paid every week. He doesn't care. It doesn't affect him. He doesn't go buy eggs at the grocery store. I know how these people live. When I was flying charter back in the 90s, there were some very rich people, let's say, connected to very rich people, and some of them were actors and some of them were in Hollywood. They simply don't live the same way we live, the average Joe out there. People do their groceries for them. They don't go to the grocery store. They typically have a cook living in their home, at least for one or two meals. They live in million-dollar homes. It's not, multi-million-dollar homes. And they typically have more than one multi-million-dollar home. Rachel Maddow makes $100,000 per episode. Actually, $100,000 per day, per business day. $500,000 a week. She has a $30 million contract per year. Rachel Maddow. And she doesn't even work 5 days a week now, as far as the show goes. I'm sure she works on her days that she's not on the show, because she has to come up with all this drivel that she puts out there. We'll be talking about some of that in a little bit. A couple of the first things I want to talk about is, in fact, let's get right into the clips now, because it's going to be very interesting to play some of these. Hopefully the audio is going to be okay on this. I have not tested this morning to see where we're at with some of this stuff. The first one is, I think this first clip is a clip of a We'll find out. We'll just play it and see what it is. I think this is there's a demonstration going on somewhere, and they're calling people fascists. And this gets into the whole protest demonstration stuff that goes on all over the place. And what we have is they've got these bullhorns, and they're calling Trump a fascist. They're calling, this administration's he's a fascist. He's a fascist. He's a fascist. They love to use the word fascist because it's negative. They're the fascists, by the way. This is typical. The fascists typically act this way. They're the ones who want to silence your speech. They're the ones who want to. In fact, there's another clip of this guy. We'll play it. I have his name. It's not Donald somebody. He's a leftist, left-wing Democrat who just carries water. He's very articulate. He's able to speak very well. At least very, very. He rants very well. And he's not necessarily educated speech, but he's able to speak very quickly and get these stupid talking points across that are insane, but it's the emotional definition stuff that he does so well that the left uses him all the time. And he can lie with a straight face, look you right in the eye and lie to you, just rattle off the lies from one end of the world to the other. It's just amazing to me how this guy operates. But this is a demonstration, some kind of a protest. And I hope I get the right. Yeah, there we go. There's our clip. So we're going to play this, and I think this first one is that's what this is on this first one. Let's listen to what they have to say. And this is, by the way, this is courtesy of Memeology 101. What this is. This is
to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. If Russia has the ability to.
I want to back this up real quick because this is a totally different clip than I thought it was. I forgot I had this other clip in here. This very first clip is John Kerry. he kind of makes sense at the beginning of it, but then he's just all talking about. My understanding is he's supposed to be retiring from the czar position, which he needs to because he's at the point where he can hardly move anymore. His face doesn't really move; he just kind of talks through it. He's talking about how people could accept what Putin is doing with the war effort in Ukraine better if he was more concerned about environmental issues. That's what this guy says. So let's go on with this. Let's see what he has to say here. This is, by the way, this is courtesy of Memology 101, which is why this music is at the beginning. They get some little things there. So we're listening to that at the moment. He's going to start speaking here.
The ability to be able to make enormous changes if it really wanted to. If Russia has the ability to wage a war illegally, and invade another country, they ought to be able to find the effort to be responsible in the climate issue. Unfortunately, because of the actions that Russia took in an unprovoked, illegal war against another nation, we have not been engaged in discussions with Russia, sadly. I say sadly because it's a loss for the world not to be able to have Russia acting constructively on this issue. But we need every country, including Russia. Russia is one of the largest emitters in the world. If Russia wanted to show good faith, they could go out and announce what their reductions are going to be and make a greater effort to reduce emissions now. And maybe that would open up the door for people to feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this point in time.
Russia could, we could feel better about what Russia is choosing to do at this time, point in time. In other words, the war. We could feel better about their war if they were just concerned more about the economy, the ecology, I'm sorry. Is he being serious here? Yes, he's being serious. He's being serious. He's being totally serious. So guys, these people are insane in their head. They do not realize that their cause. They're so totally unaware of anything outside of their little world. Now, here's another little deal. This is the thing with the fascists. I'm pretty sure the second one. Hopefully. One of these has got to be the thing about the fascists. I'm pretty sure it's the second one. We'll find out here in just a second. Here we go.
Can you define what a fascist is?
You are a fascist.
I am? What makes me a fascist? What makes me a fascist?
Read a book.
Read a book? Which book?
Just blow a note, but blow a horn in her face.
Today. What is fascism? Tell me about it.
Fascism. Now, it's a complex idea.
This woman is wearing a face mask. Completely covers her face, and she's got these weird looking glasses on, and it looks like she's wearing a wig. I can't tell if she is for sure or not. Looks like she's wearing a wig. And she holds her head down the whole time. Of course, she's holding a sign up, something about something. She's asking her to define what a fascist is. So she's going over this whole thing. I just messed that up.
Can you define what a fascist is?
Okay, let's go back over this again.
You are a fascist.
I am.
You are a fascist. Read a book. Honk.
Read a book.
Which book?
They want to shut you down. They're the ones. She wants to know, what is a fascist? Tell me what a fascist is. So like, oh, I'm a fascist. Okay, tell me what.
I'm fascism quite a bit today. What is fascism? Tell me about it.
Fascism is it's a complex idea.
It's very complex.
But generally, fascism is it's the supremacy of like the bourgeoisie.
Supremacy of the bourgeoisie.
A lot of people said he's not actually a fascist. So then why call him a fascist?
Well, I don't know the exact definition of a fascist, so I don't know if he is or isn't a fascist.
I don't know the exact definition of the fascist, so I don't know if he is or isn't a fascist. But we're calling him one anyway. What in the world is wrong with these people? These are the people who are out there protesting because they feel good about themselves for making a difference. They're the being the change that they want to see in the world. Well, I don't know the definition of a fascist. Now, I have talked about this definition on the show a few times in the past. So my those of you who listen to me frequently, you will know what a fascist is because I've talked about it before. So let me just very quickly read this is the Google definition of fascism. And the thing I have a problem with the whole internet stuff is, I don't even like having my Bible on. I get concerned about the Bible app because they can change things in there and you won't know it. They can make very subtle changes and you would never know it. Now, I don't think that most of them would do that, but the people who are controlling the Bible app is not necessarily the people who wrote the Bible, who published it. People who are publishing the Bibles typically know what it says about changing, adding to, or taking away anything from the Scriptures. They typically know what it says about that. All the curses and plagues that are in the Bible will be upon you if you do that kind of thing. That's in the last part of the Bible. Anyway, one thing to note here. Oh, this cat is just too cute. Now she's trying to play with me. I'm sorry, just cat distractions. Now remember, they changed the definition. When you go to Wikipedia or you go to some of the places in the dictionaries that are out there, like Merriam's and that kind of thing, Merriam-Webster, they changed the definition of vaccination, of a vaccine, because of the vaccine that they were pushing on us all. They had to change the definition of it. Keep that in mind. What does it take to do that? How can you possibly make that happen without some kind of nefarious thing going on? And so here it is. A system of government marked by centralization of authority under a dictator. Okay, now that's kind of what we typically... Now, it doesn't have to be... See, they make it sound like it's a single person, a dictator. So it has to be a dictator on the top of the fascism, of this centralized government, authoritative government. It doesn't have to be a dictator. Hitler was elected. He was not necessarily considered a dictator, even though he's very dictatorial. But his government, the CCP is a dictatorial government. Xi Jinping is he would be considered a dictator, even though he was also elected. He could technically say he was elected. Putin could say he was elected because it doesn't matter how many votes there are. It matters who counts the votes. So that up until this point, it's fairly Correct. But it doesn't take one single dictator to be in a fascist situation. In fact, there's things called benevolent dictators who have actually done well in the past. There's been kings that have been very good kings. Then it goes on. There's a comma, and it says, a capitalist economy subject to stringent governmental controls. A capitalist economy subject to stringent government controls. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more later, too. Now, they are kind of correct on that, but they're making it sound like it's the capitalism that's the problem here. That's the way they word this. If you just read it the way it looks like the capitalist economy is the problem. Comma. Violent suppression of the opposition and typically a policy of belligerent nationalism and racism. Now, they claim Donald Trump is a racist all the time. Every time Bernie Sanders tries to talk about Donald Trump at all, the first thing comes out of his mouth is, he's a racist! He's a racist! This is a buzzword that they need to use. They need to use all these words. Fascism, racism, Hitler, dictator. They have to use all these words because they know that they pull well in the negative. They can keep hammering on that subject. The problem is they're creating a monster that doesn't exist. And sooner or later, someone's going to react to this. They're going to some paranoid, schizophrenic people out there. They do exist, by the way. Merriam-Webster, I think this is Merriam-Webster here. This is fascism definition meaning. Fascism as a noun, a political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as that is the this is where they put this in there because you're not supposed to do it. It just goes against the definition rules, but it says such as that of the fascist that exalts national and often race above the individual and that stands for a centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader. Dictatorial. This is actually a pretty decent definition. And unfortunately, it describes communism almost to a T. Severe economic and social regimentation and forcible suppression of that. It goes on with more of that, but it's. This is Wikipedia's definition. I think I've read this one before. Is a far right authoritarian, ultra nationalist political ideology and movement, centralized by a dictatorial leader, centralized autocracy, militarism, forcible suppression of opposition, belief in a natural social hierarchy, in other words, white supremacy, a supremacy of a race, and subordination of individual interests. The whole thing is it's against individualism, fascism is against individualism. The leftist communist progressivism is collectivism, not individualism. They are the fascists. It's very easy for them to call the other side the fascists because they perceive them so because they come out against what they want to do. They come out against their little collective agenda. You're a fascist. What's a fascist? Just blow the horn in your face. I don't know what a fascist is, but you know I know you are, but what am I? This is how ridiculous some of this stuff is. Now, I also want to go back to Rachel Maddow. This is a very interesting clip as well. This is Rachel Maddow. This is kind of a montage. This has been edited, so kind of take it for what it is. I'm going to say that right up front. These are clips of Rachel Maddow saying some things, and mostly she's talking about the DOJ. Now, if you listen to her talk about this in the present, if you pull this up and put it in the present day, you'd wonder, is she talking about Joe Biden? She's talking about this DOJ, this administration, this attorney general. Because that's what's happening right now. This was back during the Trump era when they claimed these things were going on when they weren't. I think it was when Bill Barr got put into place. They were calling him up. But they put Bill Barr in place to go after his political enemies. So let's see what she has to say here. I'll try to get this.
Attorney general in position to do it, we now know they really have been trying to gin up criminal prosecutions and criminal investigations into the president's perceived enemies, politically motivated persecution, right? Mr. Trump is using the Justice Department to go after his perceived enemies. I feel worried about the prospect of the Justice Department being used as a tool of this president or any.
Or any. Apparently not the current president. That was back when this president was, you know, Trump was this president. So that president now is not a problem, apparently. They don't see it at all because they're going after the fascists. That's what we're being told now. It's okay now because we're going after the fascists. These people are incredulous. They are hypocritical. I mean, I don't know how much more you can bear of this kind of thing, but I'm going to keep on going with it. The next clip I have is something I don't have. I have no clue what the next one is. I just have a few more. I think this is the next one is another one of the just to point out the hypocrisy on the left and some of the things that they're saying. So let's move on. Let's move on to this next one here, real quick.
Mr. Chairman, you continually say
this is that Daniel Goldman. This is the guy I was talking about.
Both parties agreed.
This is the guy who lies through his teeth.
It didn't used to be. It is. It remains the case. We all agree with the First Amendment. But the problem is that the First Amendment is not absolute.
Really?
It does not protect any single thing anyone says. And there are limits, and that's important. And what this committee has been trying to do for the last year and a half is to chill the federal government from monitoring what is going on social media and otherwise out there so that misinformation and disinformation can run rampant in only Elon Musk's social platform and every other social platform so that they, the Republicans, can benefit from it in November's election. That is why this committee exists.
The time of the gentleman.
And we have gotten no evidence to support any of these allegations. The chair recognizes the gentleman.
This guy is lying through his teeth, blatantly lying through his teeth. First of all, his understanding of the First Amendment is completely false. This is the guy who comes out and says the First Amendment only protects you from for legal speech. It has to be legal speech that it protects you to say. This guy believes that legal speech has to be true. That any, and this coming from one of the biggest liars in the Congress, in my opinion. He says that legal speech is all that the First Amendment protects you from. We're protected from misinformation and disinformation. It's being used. You can't use the First Amendment to spread misinformation and disinformation. Oh, really? Is there a law? Show me the law where it says I can't lie. That lying is illegal. That spreading. Now, misinformation is mistakenly sharing information. Disinformation is actual information that you know is not true and you're sharing it for possibly nefarious purposes, maybe not. Maybe it's to protect someone. I guarantee you, if somebody's coming running down the alley, I'm walking down the street and some girl runs up and she's obviously running away from someone who's been beating her. And she runs off and she runs past me and she runs off into a particular direction. She runs off to my left. The guy who's chasing her comes after, you know, he's chasing me, or he's chasing her, comes up to me, carrying a knife. And he says, which way did she go?
I cannot tell a lie. I will tell you she went that away, because I cannot lie to you.
Now, I could say I'm not saying. And take the chance that he might go the right way. Or I could say she went that way and point the opposite direction. I could do that and probably save her life. Did I lie and am I going to hell for that? Absolutely not. When it comes to protecting life, Scripture is very clear about this. In fact, in the lineage of Jesus, there was a liar. Well, more than one, but there was a liar who was very famous for her lie because she protected the spies. This is the kind of thing that, and she will forever be remembered. The Bible honors her for her lie, for protecting people and their lives. Their lives, not lies, lives, L-I-V-E-S. It's very clear. Scripture is very clear. That's how important life is. That's how precious life is. It's more precious than your little, I always tell the truth, and self-righteous mentality. Now, is truth-telling important? Yes, absolutely it is. The truth is important, but don't get me wrong. Don't take this too far. But when there's a purpose for saving someone's life, for protecting life, then yes, your little lie is not such a bad thing. Now, this guy lies all the time. And he's talking about, in fact, they always say, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. Oh, yes, you can. Show me the law that's on the books that says you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. Well, there has to be a fire. Well, okay. What if you're an actor and you're on the stage, and one of the lines in your part is to yell fire? Can you do that? Can you not? Are you going to get arrested for that? And I'm not talking about necessarily something burning. I might be talking about someone shooting. Maybe a part of your play is that you're lining up to execute someone, and the person, the executor, says fire, and they all fire. They're not talking about fire. They're just but the same word. It gets me that we have more and more words every day that we're not allowed to say, or the pronouns that we're forced to say, or the things that we can't say. Oh, you can't call midgets anymore. I don't know if it's little people or midgets. I can't keep track of it all. I mean, there's one of them's right and one of them's wrong, and I don't know which one's right. You can't say something is Oriental anymore. You can't call something. It has to be Southern Asian or whatever. It's just all these different things. The way they define it, what's the way you have to say it now? Or you're a racist. If you don't say it their way, you're a racist and you're a homophobe, you're a xenophobe, you're whatever you are. You're deplorable. And I guarantee you, whatever we're saying today, we'll have to say it differently next week. For a while, it was the Negroes. That's what we called them back in. They called themselves that. That was what they were referred to back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. Then they wanted to be, there was, that would change to be called black. Then it was people of color. Now there are people who are offended by that. They want to be called black again. But there are others who are offended by that. There's a whole hodgepodge of things now that I don't know what we're supposed to say. I just say minorities now, typically. African American, that was the thing for a while. Now some of them don't want to be that. I'm just going to call you minority. I don't know. That's part of the point. They want to confuse us to the point we don't know what to say. So we can't say anything. It's to shut us down, shut us up. So we can't have a conversation anymore. Without somebody interjecting, well, oh my goodness, we're trying to have a legitimate conversation about the issues that face our cultures. And somebody just, make one little slip up in the way you describe someone, and now all of a sudden you're the enemy. And now it becomes this thing about you're a racist and we're not going to listen to anything. We're going to shut you down completely and not listen to anything else you say. Because now you're a worthless human being. Your opinions don't matter. That's where this stuff goes. All right, onward and upward. Let's go to the next thing. This is a skit of, I don't know why the audio is not playing. Oh, there we go. This is a skit of the, interesting skit here. This is a little skit made by, I don't know what the group is. It's, what is it called? It's, I can't remember the name of the group. But it's pretty good. This is just a short. That's all it is on YouTube. And they're talking about the tax now that California has imposed, and somebody did some research on this whole thing. Now, Panera Bread, they're basically saying the minimum wage for all fast food workers now is $20 an hour. $20 an hour. If you work an 8-hour shift, that's $160 a day. $100 a week. About there, somewhere in there. I haven't done the math. I don't know. I know people in professional jobs, trained college required, college diploma required jobs who are making less than this. Now, California, I understand California, you got to make a lot of money in order to survive there. But they're requiring all fast food operators now. This is the bill that's on, I think it's actually passed now, that it required fast food operators to pay their employees starting wage, minimum wage, $20 an hour. So that means there's people that are probably making more than that. And turn around with that. And there are some people who, there were some, quote, fast food places that were exempt. If they were considered a bakery, they were exempt. Well, Panera Bread was considered a bakery. I consider Panera Bread to be fast food. It's just different kind of fast food, but it's fast food. You walk in, you type your stuff into a kiosk, and you go to the door and pay your money, you get your stuff. That's fast food. Because they don't have a bakery. Or since since they have a bakery, since they bake bread there, they're now a bakery. So they don't have to pay their employees minimum wage. Funny thing is, the owner of Panera Bread, the CEO, donates a lot of money to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. Donates a lot of money to his campaign. So these people did a little skit on this whole thing. Let's see what they have to say about it.
Mr. Chairman, you continually say...
This is the wrong one. Here we go.
We're so excited to announce California's new $20 minimum wage for fast food restaurants.
Quick question. Why is there a very specific exemption for fast food chains that have bakeries?
We just felt like that's fair.
And that would apply to Panera Bread, correct?
I guess it would.
Well, one of Gavin Newsom's longtime donors, Glenn Flynn, owns 24 Panera Bread locations in California and has been a very outspoken critic of the $20 minimum wage. That wouldn't have anything to do with this, would it?
How dare you?
Is that sandwich from Panera?
And she says no comment. Pretty funny little skit. Now, the funny thing is about this, you watch McDonald's is going to come out with something. Fresh baked rolls. We bake our own buns now. that's all they have to do is put in a little oven and say they bake their own. They're just going to start sending ready to roast buns or ready to roast whatever it is. They're going to, we're a bakery now. We don't have to pay them $20 an hour. That's what's going to happen everywhere. Guarantee you. Now here's another one. This last one, I'm not sure what this is. Oh, this is
Voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race. They're voting on this idea of an invasion of brown people over the border. The idea that they can't get whatever job they want. A black person got it, therefore drive all the blacks out of the colleges, get rid of DEI. That is what they're voting on. They're just voting specifically on racial animus. Which, at this stage, it isn't about
the economy. That is what at the end. I want to finish with this and close with this particular clip because I think it's critical that we understand what's going on here. This is Joy Reid. Is that her name? She has blonde hair. Look, it looks like a baby version of Trump's hair on her head. And she's a black woman, minority, whatever you want to call her, African American, person of color. I don't know, whatever you want to call her. Okay, there we go. Now, she is one of the most racist people on the planet I know of. She will say, oh, I can't be racist because I don't have any institutional power. She's got an audience that's listening to her right now of every day of, well, tens of thousands of people. I don't know. MSNBC doesn't have a huge audience, believe it or not. And she's on there touting this whole thing that the whole Republican Party is based, they're not based on policies anymore. Oh, really? It's all about race. And yet most of the people I know who vote for Trump are voting on him because of his policies. They don't like the guy. They're voting on him because of his policies. But she doesn't hear that. She doesn't hear that at all. It's all about racism. It's all about racism. They're trying to get rid of DEI. Yeah, because DEI is racist. This is the whole thing of, well, we're going to make sure that our, for instance, I think it was it United recently just, was it United or Delta? Maybe it was Delta. Just came out recently and said, we're going to make sure that our pilot group looks like, we're going to hire people, you know, for to be pilots based on gender and race. And make sure that it's a diverse group of people. That's fine with me, as long as you look at the pilot population and say, okay, 90% of the pilot population are white men. So 90% of our pilot population is going to be white men. Don't look at the community. Okay, let's just take this, for example, plumbers. How many people who are certified plumbers have their journeyman's license, whatever it is they have, their plumber's license, their licensed plumbers, how many of them are minorities or female? And then make your company look like, if you say you hire 100 plumbers to work at your big company that you've got in a big city somewhere and you got 100 plumbers to work, you know. Well, then make sure that it looks like the plumber community. That's all it should look like. Or if you're in a particular area, demographic area, you know, most of those certified plumbers might be black. So most of your plumbers are going to be black. Why not just hire the qualified people to walk through your door and stop looking at the color of their skin, their ethnic background, or their culture? Stop looking at that. Hire qualified people. It's insanity. It's stupid. And it's racist. That is the epitome of racism. Hiring someone based on their color of their skin. And now it's not the supremacy of the white person. It's the supremacy of diversity. So that's where we're at now with this whole thing. It's not white supremacy. It's diverse supremacy. I just coined that phrase just now. Probably going to be in a book somewhere. So that's what I'm going to close with, folks. Going to the weekend, I'd like to just leave things in a little bit of a more of an uptone, but that typically doesn't happen too much anymore. But I do want to mention that there's definitely a wave of craziness coming at the further that we get into this. Of course, now that it's more certain than ever now, it looks like that Donald Trump is going to not be thrown into slammer. That he's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. Big Fanny down in Texas, down in Atlanta. She's been on the hot seat. She's had her Fanny on the hot seat down there for quite a while. And for the last little while with this hearing that's going on. And we should get some kind of an answer here in the next week or two. Now, there's a new guy running for, is it mayor of Atlanta or AG of Atlanta? I can't remember what he is. I think it's a new attorney general, whatever he is going to be. He's trying to take away and this is going to change everything because this guy is very, very, very pro Fannie. And he could end up changing this entire investigation. It could be a blow to the whole thing, and with regard to could be very, very hard, much harder for Trump's lawyers to get this thing figured out. They've had some very good people that have really cross-examined Fannie and it's and all the other people that are involved. And she really she's going to be disqualified. I'm pretty sure of that, unless something politically changes or somebody steps in or does something screwy behind the back. And it's, I don't put that past any. I don't, the left has its way of monkeying with things in the background and making things happen. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, she should be disqualified. She should be disbarred. And unfortunately, the fellow that she has convinced to lie for her also should be disbarred. Just my opinion. Folks, I have a lot of hope in the future. I have a lot of hope in the state of the church and the state of truth. Because I believe truth wins at the end of the day. All we have to do is get it out there. And I really totally believe in what Abraham Lincoln, I believe he said, I don't know if he was the first one to say it or not. He used it in a lot of his speeches, apparently. Let the nation know the truth, or let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. Let the people know the truth and the nation will be saved. That's really where this is at. Having a president stand in a podium and tell you lies straight to your face, so this is happening and that's happening and this is we need to stop this or that, all the while knowing full well Joe Biden, keep in mind, Joe Biden was the guy who was asked, what do you think about Donald Trump keeping those documents locked up? How can anybody be, he responds with, how can anybody be so irresponsible? Who knows who might have gotten access to those? He had them locked in a room, and we knew what documents were there. Hey, Joe, where were your documents that you had for many, 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 many years that you weren't even supposed to have, that you never were supposed to have outside of a skiff? Oh, locked in your garage? Oh, not even locked in your garage. Your garage door was open. There's pictures of your garage door open while you're out driving around in your Corvette. And they were there in a box. And you knew you had them because you confessed to the guy ghostwriting your book that you knew you had them, and you knew that they don't know I have these. You said that. They don't know I have these. But you knew, didn't you? And you got the gall to stand there and turn around and say, how can someone be so irresponsible? And I was talking about somebody else. These are the people we're dealing with. They have no morals. They have no scruples. Only their own little self-righteous world that they live in. They weave these lies over and over again. And they will fall into their own trap, I guarantee you. Because I do believe the words that Lincoln said. Let the people know the truth, and the nation will be saved. So we just need to get out there and find out what the truth is. Because this is still our country. It's not their country. We the people have a right and a duty to define our destiny. They need to sit down and shut up. We'll be fine, because I believe in the American people. I believe in the principles that got us where we are. Not where we're headed, but the founding principles that we were constructed on. That's what I believe in. And I believe those things will stand at the end of the day. So there you have it, folks. Once again, pray for our nation. Pray for our those who serve our country so valiantly every day. The ones we don't hear about. The ones that don't make the news. The real heroes. Pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Pray that they would have some wisdom from above. And let's pray for each other so that we can continue to make good decisions and right decisions and to uphold the things that matter in our communities and in our culture and our lives. So folks, as you go on throughout your day, as you go on throughout your weekend, enjoy the freedoms that we still have and celebrate those and share them with others. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Take care.